Why don't you take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I had hoped to cover the rest of the chapter. We're going to start in verse 21 tonight. But to tell you the truth, we'll be lucky to get through verse 24. And just don't think, ladies, that I'm going to spend the whole session on it because we're talking about wives be submissive to your husbands tonight. That's not the reason. I'll probably spend a whole half hour next week talking about how husbands ought to love their wives. And so you can be guaranteed that they'll get equal time. But we're in the second part of Ephesians. This is the practical part. And it talks about how we as Christians ought to walk, how we ought to live as Christians, how we ought to live as the light of the world, and how we ought to be ambassadors for Christ. And we ended last week talking about three things. We talked about being filled with the Spirit. In other words, keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep yielding ourselves to Him. Get to that point where we say, like Jesus did when He was here, not my will, but your will be done. And, you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us do is discern the will of God. And the more we yield ourselves to Him, the more we are filled with Him, so to speak. And again, I mentioned it Sunday night as well. I mean, when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. I mean, he completely comes. There's no part of Him that doesn't come into our lives when we ask Jesus to be our Savior. But again, the question is, how much does He get of us? He will fill every part of us that we give Him. Last week I used the example of the lady with the pots, and Brother Leonard and I were talking after the service last Wednesday night. He said, "Preacher, you think that little pot that you started with was filled at the end too?" I said, "Yeah, I think He filled up every single one of them." And I think that stayed full throughout the whole process. And that's what He'll do for us. He'll fill every part that we yield to Him, but it's a daily thing. Sometimes it's an hourly thing. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment thing where we have to fight our old nature and that old will that we have, where we want to do our thing instead of letting the Holy Spirit control us and fill us. And so we talked about being filled with the Spirit. We talked about making melody in our heart to the Lord, constant praise to God for who He is, for what He has done, and for the things that He has promised. And we mentioned last week, one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is to teach us about God. Jesus said, as He talked to His disciples before He went back to heaven, He said, the Holy Spirit will come and He'll tell you things that He's heard. He'll tell you more things about Me. He'll tell you more things about the Father. We sing the song, "More About Jesus Would I Know." And Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death." And the more we know about Him, the more reason we have to praise Him. And so we're being filled with the Spirit. We're yielding ourselves more to Him. As we yield ourselves more to Him, we're reminded more about our Savior, more about our God, which should enable us to be in that state of constant praise. And then remember the last verse we talked about last week was verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. And again, as we're being filled with the Spirit, as we're making melody in our hearts, the natural reaction ought to be to give thanks always for all things to God. Because every good and perfect gift cometh from Him, and all things work together for good. Sometimes we may not understand it. I was telling somebody before church, my grandmother used to make homemade rolls, and my brother took the recipe and tried it for Thanksgiving. And they came out badly, and we had to throw them out Thursday out into the backyard for the birds. And I went back to my mom and dad's on Monday to help her do something, and the rolls were still there. So I called my brother. I said, "Even the squirrels don't like those things that you made." But all things work together for good. And again, we may not understand how they work together for good, but we can be thankful to God that for everything that he allows to come into our life, because he has a plan, he has a purpose, and he will work it for our good. And again, you remember, he works from an eternal standpoint, not a short, he doesn't have a short-term time frame. He has an eternal time frame. So we start tonight in verse 21. And again, the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the home and the relationship between husbands and wives and between children and parents, and how the husband-wife relationship pictures the relationship between Christ and his church. And again, who better to tell us how things ought to work in the home than the one who made man, than the one who made woman, than the one who instituted or started, originated, however you want to say it, this relationship we call marriage. So in verse 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, and again, in verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And that word submit in both of those verses is a military term, if you go back and study the Greek. And it means to line up under the one that has authority over you. To line up under one that is in command, so to speak. And so a soldier lines up under that person that is over them, that person that outranks them. And in this army, and again, the way this term is used, you are not in the military, you are not in the army, so to speak, because you were drafted. You're in this, the way this term is used, you are in the army because you volunteered. You volunteered because you believed in the cause. You volunteered because what the unit or the outfit, whatever you want to call it, the objective they're trying to achieve is something that you believe in. It was like David when he went to fight Goliath. You remember when he was talking about it and his brother was giving him a hard time. And David said, is there not a cause? There's a reason that I'm going to go out and fight the giant. And it's bigger than me, and it's bigger than all of us together. It's God's cause. And so this term of submit means that we line up under those in a voluntary basis, under those that have authority over us, because we believe in the purpose and cause for which we are gathered. The commander has the plan. It's not up to the soldier. The soldier is not responsible for devising the plan. The soldier is responsible for carrying out orders to execute the plan. And while they are doing that, again, this is all this term implies as you go back and you study it. While the person is doing that, while the soldier is submitting themselves to that authority, they are under the care of the commander. They are under the protection. They are provided for. They are cared for by that one that they line up under. And so the soldier lines up under his commander. They submit themselves to the will of the commander for the cause. For the cause. The cause is greater than themselves. And again, as soldiers, they submit to the will of the commander so that the plan can be executed to carry out the cause. And so in verse 21, when it says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, is that we line up under one another. And we do that because of the cause. Again, we'll talk about the cause in just a minute. But we do that because we believe there's something bigger than us. And we line up one another and submit ourselves one another to capture that cause, to achieve the objective, to achieve the purpose of the outfit that we are in. And this mutual voluntary, reciprocal, personal submission that we have to one another is a way to have harmony in every relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, but between friend and friend. This submitting ourselves one to another is a way to have that harmony. And I was thinking about it in the context of the things that we talked about last week. If we are all being filled with the Spirit, we won't get into win-lose situations. Because it's not this person's way or this person's way, it's the Holy Spirit's way. And so if we're all being filled with the same Spirit, it'll be a win-win situation, because it won't be our will, it will be the Holy Spirit's will. And the Holy Spirit never leads to confusion. He never leads Tom to do one thing and me to do another thing and expect us to work together. He'll lead us in the same way. Paul says it in a different way in Philippians chapter 2 when he says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves." And as I was studying, I thought about a story. It's an old story, and I've told it here before, but it's been a long time ago. So if you were here when I told it, maybe you won't remember it. But it was a story about a church. And the church was divided by age. They had a group of older people and a group of younger people, and they couldn't agree on anything. And the place where it showed up was in their auditorium. They had a long auditorium, and they had no air conditioning, and they had windows sort of like we do on the side. But in the back, they had a great big exhaust fan. And in the summer, when it got really hot, the young people would go back and turn the exhaust fan on, because it would pull the air through the auditorium, through the windows and back through the auditorium, and there'd be a nice breeze that would go through and cool everybody off. But when a young person got up to turn it on, it would blow for a while, and then the breeze got to going. Then an old person would get up and turn it off because the breeze bothered their rheumatism. Okay, and so you had this constant, you had an old person going, or a young person going back and turning it on, and an old person going back and turning it off, and then it, you know, it would be off for a while, get hot, and a young person would go back and turn it back on, and then the breeze would start again, and an old person would go back and turn it off. Well, they had revival in the church. People got right with God. They started living by the book. And then you had an old person going back and turning it on, and a young person going back and turning it off. And then a young person going back and turning it on, and an old person going back. They were just opposite, because they were esteeming each better than the other. And so that's what this verse is. We submit ourselves one to another. And it says, in verse 21, it says, "In the fear of God." Not fear of being afraid, but that awe and respect that we have for God. And because we have that awe and respect for him, we want to please him. And a way to please God is to do what this verse says, is to submit ourselves one to another. And because God's no different than, as our Heavenly Father, he's no different than parents are here today. One of the things that I find break parents' hearts today is when their children can't get along. I mean, I know families that where brothers and brothers and brothers and sisters can't be in the same room at the same time. They don't like each other. Some things have been done that has broken the relationship, and they can't stand one another, and they can't be in the room with each other at the same time, and it breaks their parents' heart. I mean, you know, just think about how you would feel if your kids could not get along, and God is pleased when we are of one accord. And the way that we can stay in one accord is submit ourselves one to another. Okay, so verse 22. Now, just think about all the things I said about submit a minute ago, and let me help. Let me remind you as to how they apply to verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Same word is used in verse 21. You volunteered to get into the union with your husband. Okay? You weren't drafted. As far as I know, nobody here was sold into bondage to be married to their husband. Okay? It was all voluntary. Okay? You all agreed to come into that. You came in for a cause. Now, I know people say, well, we got married because we loved one another. And that's wonderful. And that's love plays a big part in it. Perhaps you got married to have children, to leave a legacy, to bring, you know, new life into the world. And you train them. And that was your cause. And that's a good cause for parents to raise up their children to love the Lord and to serve him. But I would submit to you that there was another cause that both husband and wife came into the union with. And that was the cause was that you felt that being married to your husband or your wife was going to help you become what God wanted you to be. That union was going to help God mold you and make you into that vessel that he could use. And so you came into the outfit of two that, you know, grew as your family came along. But you came voluntarily in to that unit, in to marriage, because God, you felt that God could use that to make you in, again, to the ambassador, to the light, to the Christian that he wanted you to be. God has established the husband as the authority in the home. And so he says in verse 22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And so, ladies, as wives, you line up under your husband. And by the way, God holds the husband responsible and accountable for executing the plan, for accomplishing the cause, okay? But your duty is to submit to him. Again, you do so voluntarily, and it's not a matter of being inferior. That's not the reason. But it's living or lining up under the authority that God has established in the home. And again, just like in the example that I gave you, as you submit yourselves to him, he takes on the responsibility of caring for you. In fact, we're going to talk about it next week. God tells husbands that they need to cherish their wives as a treasure. But you, as they submit, as wives submit themselves to their husbands, the husbands take on the responsibility of taking care of them. And again, you come in to this relationship, into this union, because God can use it. God can use it again to make it, to help make you into what he wants you to be. And it says, as unto the Lord, that you're submitting yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. Not my will, but his will. And again, God is ultimately responsible. I mean, you know, the husbands are to follow the Lord, and God's ultimately responsible for working out his purposes in our life and for caring for us. But he assigns roles to husbands and wives to accomplish that. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The husband is the head because God established it that way, just like Christ is the head of the church. And he is the head of the church. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's not mine. It's not the deacons and the trustees. It's not the Southern Baptist. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. He formed it. He brought us together. He joined us together. And listen, we are not here. We are not members of this church because we got a good Sunday school teacher. We got a good Sunday school teacher sitting back there on the back row. He works hard and he studies hard. Studies all week. But you did not come here because you got a good Sunday school teacher. You did not come here because you got a preacher that can preach a good message every now and then. You didn't come here because of that. You didn't even come here because of the fellowship. You say, well, yeah, preacher, but those are things that I enjoy, and I'm glad you enjoy them. But that's not the reason you came. You came because God wanted you here. And he wanted you here because in this place, he can use this place. He wanted you part of this body and part of this family because he can use what happens here to help you grow and to help you mature, to help you become what he wants you to become. And we're going to talk about it again. I don't know if we'll get to it next week or the week after, but in verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so I say tonight, if God has led you here, and let me just stop and say, if he hasn't, and I say this with all kindness, if God has not led you here, do not stay. Find out where he wants you at and go there. But if he's led you here, and again, listen, Brother Leonard will be the first to tell you, and I've heard him say it over and over and over again. He said, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working through him. It's why you enjoy the Sunday school lessons. It's not me. I mean, I'll go out there and stand thinking to myself, man, that was, you laid an egg. That was a lousy message. And yet they'll be the ones that people come out and say, preacher, you help me. I needed that. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's talking to you. It's not even the fellowship. I mean, we enjoy the fellowship and the love. And Lynn, she's not here tonight, so I'll just share. She came out Sunday night, and there was a lesson, I think it was a couple weeks ago, where a guy heard a couple talking about their church in a restaurant. And he went over and joined the conversation. And the couple asked, is your church a charismatic church? And it wasn't a charismatic from the way the word is used, but a church that cares. And Lynn pointed to that, and she said, that's why I'm here. This church cares. This church cares. And so if God has led you here, here's what I encourage you to do. Join up with us. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in on everything that you can. Grow. Mature. Because that's why God's got you here. He wants to use all the things that we have in this place to turn us into what he wants us to be. To the ambassadors and the children of light that we talked about a couple weeks ago. And as that verse says, he is the Savior of the body. If he didn't save us, none of us would be here. He's the Savior of the body. And verse 24, we'll quit with this one. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I was thinking about it. It's sort of like a king and his subjects. When it says, let wives be subject unto their own husbands. We just like a subject submits themselves to the king. And again, they don't do it because they're forced to. They do it in a voluntary basis. And they do that because they know that they live and exist because of him. And everything they have is because of him. And we submit ourselves to God because we live and exist by him. And he loves us and he cares for us and he wants the best for us. And he wants us to be what he designed us to be. And again, we'll talk about it next week. But husbands, that ought to be true of you in relationship to your wife. They submit because you do love and cherish them and will provide for them and want them to be what God wants them to be. And you want them to, you know, to grow and to mature in the Lord. And again, God set it up for you to be the authority in the home, but for them to submit to you so that you can help as the leader in the home to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. To make both of you what he wants you to be. And it says in everything. So, ladies, you don't get to pick and choose. It's not a smorgasbord. It's not submitting in this area and not submitting in this area. It says in everything. And so, again, paints the picture. Paints the picture. And men, don't say amen, because next week I'll be talking to you about your responsibility and your roles. But thank God. Thank God thank God for marriage. Thank God for husbands and wives and that relationship that he ordained and that he uses as a tool to make us what we ought to be. Okay, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand. We have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.